ABC Radio Australia.
Now, starting the morning with a cup of coffee has almost become a ritual for many people. It definitely is part of my morning ritual. I stumble out of bed and get straight to the coffee machine so that I can get my day going, because without it, I often just cannot get my brain started whatsoever. But if you start your day with a cup of coffee, have you ever stopped to wonder where those coffee beans come from or the journey that they've gone on to make it into your cup? Well, for a group of coffee farmers in a remote part of Papua New Guinea, that journey was made even harder without a working road. But as reporter Talia Olatia found out, by banding together, they've been able to build a literal road to success.
These are the sounds of the Yunan Khoit farmers trying to free a coffee truck that's become stuck in the mud. Living in the mountainous and rugged terrains of the Sarawaget Ranges, it's an all too familiar sound for the 1,750 farmers who make up the Fair Trade Certified Co-op Society. Here's their founder and manager, Molok Terry.
It is more difficult for remote people to walk in with coffee to go out to the market.
To bring coffee all the way from the particular location into the provincial centre, which is Leh, it's quite a task.
That's Gabrielle Isso, the PNG team leader for Fair Trade Australia New Zealand.
They have to bring the coffee out from the bush on really, really very slippery and rugged roads. In most cases, there are no roads for vehicles, so the farmers actually carry the coffee on their back.
The group have been lobbying their local government for years for a proper road into town, but yet again, their location was an issue.
They're on the border of two provinces, so they're bordering the Morobe province and the Medan province. And so by its very, very, very nature and location, people along the border are usually forgotten. You know, they kind of pass the buck. One provincial government thinks it's the other's responsibility and vice versa. Roads has not been a priority. It's usually just a campaign promise that once they're in office, they tend to attend to the easier services and not the road. The road requires a lot of investment.
By joining under the Yunan Khoit Cooperative and becoming Fair Trade Certified in 2016, the coffee farmers have been able to export their product internationally. And given the recent increases in the world price of coffee, it's meant bargaining power back home. Here's Molok again.
When we mobilise our farmers and they're working together, they see that it is important to how the people themselves, the government, see that important, and then now they assist us in the ranking of our roads.
And finally, this year saw the construction of that much wanted and needed road.
So, if you like, the fair trade system has opened the eyes of the politicians that have now seen the value of farmers bringing their coffee, and as a result, are able to benefit from the returns of the coffee.
Now, the road is still under construction, but once completed, the CEO of Fair Trade Australia New Zealand, Molly Harris-Olson, hopes the upkeep of the road will be the responsibility of the government.
My hope in Papua New Guinea is that actually the government would step up and would be the ones that were supporting the maintenance of the infrastructure, because there will be many, many, many outside the Yunan Khoit community that will be relying on that road. But in the meantime, it's fantastic that the farmers there have been able to make that investment for the benefit of the whole community.
And this could be the start of more investments. A recent report from Ethical Consumers found the pandemic drove up the demand for fair trade goods like coffee, with purchases increasing by 15%. The fair trade system gives the farmers access to a fair and consistent price for their coffee on the international market. But then there's the fair trade premium, which is an extra sum of money paid for every kilogram of coffee sold. As Ms. Harris-Olson explains, this money they've acquired then goes into a communal fund, which the Yunan Khoit farmers can use to improve their community.
The premium funds that they have acquired over that period of time have actually benefited about 14,000 people in the community there. And that's in 2019 figures. So what happens with the premium funds is when they decide to spend it on a school or a hospital, or in this case, a road, they've done all of those, by the way, it actually doesn't just benefit the coffee farmers that are making that possible. It actually benefits the entire community because, of course, all the kids can go to the school, all the community members can access the hospital, and all of the communities get to use the road.
It truly is a caffeine-fueled development.
We drink maybe 3 to 4 every daily breakfast, dinner, afternoon. We drink coffee and we happily walk.
That was Moloch Terry, founder and manager of the Unen Choit Cooperative, ending that report from Talia Olatia.